5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Right now, you can join the YMCA for just $1. If you're ready to build a stronger routine, this is the best time to make your move. At the YMCA, you're joining more than a gym. You're joining your family's go-to place, your first swim place, and your after-work place all in one. $1 opens the door to 13 YMCA locations, virtual, on-demand workouts, unlimited fitness classes, and discounted programs. This $1 opportunity ends December 31st. Join today at ymcacolumbus.org/dollar.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of the Let the Bad Times Roll episode. Let those bad times roll. Make sure you listen to part one. Make sure you visit graysacademypod.com, where you can find links to our Patreon, our Instagram, our personal Instagrams, and our email. And you can reach out to us and have many a chit chat all about anything you could possibly dream of. We love hearing from all of you. Got an email from Australia, I believe, this week. Someone who's just recently found the podcast, and we just love hearing from you guys. So make sure you go to our website where you can find all of our information. But we are going to get into the rest of the plot of this episode right after everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! That's all I have
and
in me. I was storing it up.
That was good.
Thank you. I've been up. I had a yawn right before. So
I know,
like,
I saw that. I was like, wait, do I need to keep doing?
No, we're good. We're good. I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. I'm just wiped.
Yeah. Okay, so we have four people.
Dr. Mr. Feeney.
No.
Damn it.
I know.
Ugh.
If only.
Okay. He's still alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a rough one when he dies. That's really going to fuck up the millennials.
Yeah, it's a generational one that's going to shut down the streets. Let's see. Okay. The test proctors for Jackson.
No.
Neither of them.
No.
Okay. Okay. Nick.
Yes.
Okay. Cranioplasty guy.
No.
His wife.
No.
Okay. All right. Any of the attendings that Bailey is wooing?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Goodness. Okay. Is it April's proctors?
One of them.
The guy?
Nope.
The girl?
Yeah, you got there.
What about Meredith's girl proctor?
Yes.
Okay, so is that three, or
so
did I get all four?
You have one more. You have one more.
Is it Alex's male proctor?
Yes.
Okay, that
guy
was a
dick.
The one
who keeps saying care of.
I bet that guy was in Scandal, because he's a dick.
Okay, so we'll start with Nick. Jordan Belfi was in two episodes of Scandal.
Okay.
Jane Daly, who is Meredith's lady examiner, was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Ron Botitia was the guy who kept saying Alex's name wrong. He was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
Ah, dang it.
And Jill Remes was April's female examiner, and she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Cool.
Also, I keep forgetting to read Meredith's voiceover. And I'm going to read it right now because I'm thinking about it. So this is the voiceover for Let the Bad Times Roll. Carpe diem. How annoying is carpe diem? How are you supposed to plan a life, a career, a family if you're always carpeing the diem? If we all seized every moment of every day, there wouldn't be doctors. Who would sit through med school? We'd all be too busy living in the now. Whatever that means. I'll admit the Romans had a point. You gotta live life. And living means that every morning when you wake up, you have to choose. It means seizing what life offers in the moment and forging ahead no matter the weather, or closing the curtains and shutting out the day. So there you go. Carpe diem. Or don't. I don't care.
Carpe
diem. Do whatever you need to do to survive. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Also, there was one quote that I wanted to shout out that I forgot that I found in my notes here. Mm-hmm. When Christina comes out of her exam and she's talking to Meredith and she goes, my guy's a freaking fossil. The last time he was in an OR, it was lit by candles.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's so funny. And then Meredith says, I'm just going to live in this stall in my filth till I die. That's when they don't let April in.
Yep. Yeah. Although I will say, I don't think they know that it's April.
They should know her voice.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm not
going to
let them off on
either.
That one. Because
I think
know.
If she did know it was them, she would be like, Christina, fucking open the door. Except she wouldn't curse.
Well, not if she wants the Lord to love her.
Yeah, that just makes me sad for her when she's like, I can't even talk to Jesus. I'm like, yes, you can.
Yeah, listen, I swear all the time.
The way that religion is presented to people to make them feel like that about themselves, really, I'm just like, again, you guys are just not reading this correctly, in my opinion. Anyways, okay.
Tariffs.
Let's talk about Arizona.
I hope someone at home is just laughing at my random outburst of the word tariffs just now. If you're not, you should have laughed.
Do you ever just like every like so many news cycles there's like one word and they say it so many times and I'm like, this is not even a word anymore, and tariffs is getting to be that word for me.
Yeah tariffs is up there. And here's the bummer about it, guys. Everything sucks for us normal people. You know who really isn't going to be too bothered?
The people
oligarchy.
That are bitching
the billionaires.
Yeah. And they're out there actively bitching about it. Like they weren't blatantly told that this was going to happen.
Yeah. I also, this is unrelated, but I am just going to share this really quick. The Bern himself, Bernie Sanders, shared a graphic that it was spending by billionaires in presidential elections by years. And it was roughly like 18, 13, 16 million in the 2000, 2004, and 2008 elections, respectively. And then there was a little line that points to Citizens United decision
Gotta fucking get rid of that shit.
Yeah. 2008, so 2012. So 2012, the first election post Citizens United was $231 million donated by billionaires.
Yeah, it's
insane. In the 2024 election, $2.6 billion in the presidential election.
Good times.
So, you know who doesn't have that kind of money? Just the masses. The massive.
Most of us.
Just the entire rest of the world doesn't have that. So, yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and throw myself under the bus. I'm not fact-checking this. I'm just reading it directly from Bernie Sanders. So, if it's wrong, I want you to know. Sure. Okay. I don't think it is.
There's still, in my opinion, even if that is wrong, there's still too much money in elections. And it negatively impacts the people who don't have a lot of money. Just like the average citizen, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, the power of the people is greater than the people in power. Hopefully.
The pen is mightier than no pen.
That is true. The opposite of fire is water. So
what did I say this week that I was like, we're mistaking the difference of these opposites. What you're saying is not the actual opposite of this. Oh, man.
Was it dog is the opposite of cat?
No, I think it was something related to that, though. It was like the opposite of I actually think it was a poop thing. It was like it's the opposite of diarrhea. And I go, no diarrhea. And they go, no, like solid poop is the opposite
proper
of diarrhea.
Digestion.
Yeah. It was like something of that nature. But anyways, yeah, I busted that out and I was like, so the opposite is whatever. I digress. If I remember it, I'll text you because it really was very funny.
Okay. So Callie in Arizona has someone coming to the hospital to see Callie for bone cancer. It is Arizona's brother's best friend. So Tim was Arizona's brother, and this man's name is Nick. He was in the army with Tim, I think, also. But they also like grew up together. And then Nick like is all over the world doing something or another. And he tells
something relating to National Geographic somewhere
all over. He's in Tibet. He's everywhere. So he tells Arizona on the phone that he had been diagnosed with bone cancer 6 months ago. And Callie's like reassuring her, like, oh, this is a really slow growing cancer. That's really early. Like, I'll be able to take care of it, blah, blah, blah. He shows up, he's walking with a cane and says, oh, actually, it's been 6 years. My bad. I've had no treatment except for like shaman. So not looking great.
Yeah.
For him. Arizona still thinks like, oh, it'll be fine. Like Callie can do the surgery and like remove the tumors. It'll be fine. So then they go in for the surgery. Arizona is in there. Callie like makes up a lie to make her leave. And she tells Miranda that the Mets are like all over his body, essentially. And so then they do a scan and it's like in his lymph nodes, in his heart. So it's like there's nothing to be done at this point. So that's when Arizona finally like goes to him and is like, what the fuck? Like, why would you do this? And he's like, well, you were just so sad when your brother died. And she's like, yeah, so why do you also want to die? Like, that logic is pretty fucking flawed.
Yeah, not great logic. It's... this guy, and they did it in Scrubs. They've done the trope of like the friend who comes back out of nowhere talking to their friend, the doctor, and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about getting treatments. You know, it's all a big blah blah blah. It's fucking cancer, Nick. Mm-hmm. It's bone
apparently
cancer.
A pretty treatable one.
So your idiocy causes you to be a goner. You're going to die. There was one point. So they give us some backstory. Arizona said, this is the last boy that I kissed when we were 10 because we were fake married. He made me a ring of crabgrass, blah, blah, blah. Cute. Just building up for when he has to die.
Obviously.
Then there was at one point when he puts his hand on her face and it's awkwardly romantic and
it
he says,
I feel strange.
There's like tension of the sexual nature.
I'm like, I feel like they wanted to write it as basically siblings, but that's not how it reads.
Yeah.
It's the fault of these people. I think they might just have chemistry.
You know like, what? It's they wrote this commercial with sibling energy like that Folgers commercial where they wanted to bone each other.
They
walk downstairs and the parents stop a stepbrother stepsister porn from happening. Like
they're
guys
step siblings.
They were, but these two are. Wait, what?
Commercial?
I know the Folger. No, they're just. It's just incest.
They're
it's
fully just, related.
It's just fully dirty it's and
fully
related.
Illegal.
So yeah, I didn't understand where they were going with this. However,
yeah, I don't think it was like, I don't think that was the intention of the plot line. I think they really were like, we'll write this like they're basically brother and sister. They've known each other their whole lives. Like, he was really there for her when her brother died. Obviously, she's said like 1,000 times that she's fully like identifies as a lesbian. Like, she has no attraction to men. So like, there won't be anything there, but sometimes people just have chemistry and like you can't do anything about it. So they seem like there's something else.
Like Teddy and that security guard. But we'll never know.
Just that one moment. Because like later on when she goes back to yell at him, I'm like, okay, now this is what I feel like they were going for. Of just like,
yeah,
like a true friendship and like a kind of love that is not romantic.
And she yells at him on the heels of him going, hey there, sunshine. I've got some good drugs in me. Yeah, good. You're going to die, Nick. But that scene where Callie kicks out Arizona, she's like, oh no, I forgot. It's treat day at daycare and I didn't bring any orange slices. So go get like something. Bye. Mm-hmm. And that's when Bailey's like, yo, dude, you're a liar. But also, this makes sense. They get Teddy involved. They all break the news to her. And when she does get the news broken to her, she kind of just says nothing
and runs away to go yell at him. I'll be honest. A lot of times when there are plot lines like this happening, there's like a direct correlation with other things happening in the episode. And I didn't really feel like this particular plot line connected with anything else in the episode. It's fine. And I like you said, there's always in medical shows, like someone at some point is going to have an old friend that shows up and they're like, oh, I waited too long to get treatment. Isn't that so funny? No, it's literally not. So it's like not like new territory. It's really not even new territory for Grays because it's not really the same, but it's kind of reminiscent of when Derek and Addison's friends show up and she like wants the really severe treatment. And he doesn't, and they like can't agree on it. And then Derek and Addison can't agree on it. It's like a whole fucking thing.
And everyone gets divorced.
Yeah. Good times. So it's just one of those things. I'm like, okay, we've done this. What is it in what plot point is it really serving? Like, is it doing anything for Arizona and Callie? No, not really. Is it doing anything for any other doctors? No, not really. Like, where are we? Why is it here?
Yeah. It's not doing anything for Nick. Nick sure is getting the short straw here.
Nick's just come to die.
Yeah.
The boy who didn't get Nicked. Treatment come to die.
The boy who was Nick has come to Nick a little bit more.
So it's just, again, I don't have an issue with it. Like, the plotline is what it is. They do fine. But why? So that's my question.
Speaking of the boy who lived, I saw this meme the other day.
Uh-huh.
I admire both Obi-Wan and Dumbledore. When things got really bad and they faced a powerful foe, they just rolled over and died, allowing some teenager to deal with the mess.
So true. I follow this girl on Instagram who's watching the Star Wars for the first time.
Mm.
In my opinion, the wrong order. What if someone's watching them for the first time, what order do you say they should watch them in?
I think we've had this conversation before. There is only one answer. Anyone else out there who disagrees, you're not a fan. And respectfully, step on a Lego, a Star Wars Lego, if you will. It is 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9.
So release order.
Release order.
Yes, correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Release order for your first viewing, machete order every order. If you're going to do a full viewing, machete. If you just want to randomly watch a movie, randomly watch whatever fucking movie you want to watch. In my opinion, Rogue One is the best standalone Star Wars movie. You could literally watch only Rogue One, having seen no other Star Wars movie, and still think it's a good movie and understand what's happening.
Yeah, Rogue One is the best. I will agree with you. It is the best standalone Star Wars movie. It is not my favorite of the Star Wars movies overall, but it is like It's, you can't even compare the two. Right. Like, you can't, it's, you also can't hard, compare.
There's no nostalgia attached to it. It came out in our adulthood, which is very different than like growing up with them.
Yeah.
Anyways, so so she's watching them for some reason in numerical order.
No, that's,
which feels like the stupidest way. I don't know who told her to do that.
Yeah, she's got some bad intel. She's got some bad friends around her. And here's the thing. When you have things like this, like our podcast, the podcast just didn't happen. There was communication with the people around us who we loved, who could have at any point given us some feedback, okay? This person, you're telling me you don't have one single Star Wars fan in your life who you bounce this idea off of, and they not once told you, actually, let me tell you how you should do this, because you're going to want to cater to some Star Wars fans. Unless her goal was to cater to non-Star Wars fans, in which case, go chronologically, do whatever the fuck, like, do whatever.
Yeah, well, she's like, the content they normally make is like Disney specific. Mm-hmm. And so she, like, they go to the parks a lot. And she always is like, has a good time in Galaxy's Edge, but she's like, well, I don't know what any of this stuff is, so I'll like watch it to figure it out. Anyways, I still don't understand why you would watch 1, 2, 3 first, or at all ever, but it's fine.
Well, 3 is tied for my favorite Star Wars movie.
Insane take.
That's a pretty common take.
It really is. And that's insane to me because I hate the prequels so much.
There are aspects of the prequels that are really, really dumb, but like episode 3 has just so much good in it. It has
there's so much plot in the prequels, which bums me out because I don't think it's done well, but like it's really, the story is good and the story is important. The story is told terribly in my opinion.
But that's when you have like an overall aggregate of the prequels, it's a fail. Mm-hmm. The overall aggregate of the sequels is a fail. But like episode 3, that's a what do we do now? We like totally gone away from this, but it's med student,
oh yeah,
intern, resident, fellow attending, like mm-hmm. the episode 3 is attending.
That's crazy.
At best, I would say
best.
I would say out of the 9 movies, there's 3 attending level movies. And it is, in my humble opinion, in not a particular order. Mm-hmm. Revenge of the Sith, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. All of those movies are 5 out of 5s. I could watch any one of those 3 movies and just have an erection.
Oh, I have to like talk myself into watching any prequel. And a lot of that is really more of the production value than the actual like plot. I will tell that. A lot of my distaste for the prequels is about the production of them and like the way that the movie is, not the plot or the story.
Yeah.
This is definitely why you guys listen to this Grey's Anatomy podcast, right?
There's plenty of Star Wars fans out there. The last thing I'm going to say on this, I can sit there and watch from a visual standpoint the sequels and just be very pleased and enjoy the movie. The sequels
are visually very appealing.
Yes. But outside of the first like 20 minutes of The Force Awakens, honestly, Force Awakens was really good. I like The Force Awakens. But like the whole sequel trilogy peaked in the first 5 minutes with Kylo Ren holding a laser beam in midair. That was the peak.
There's, I think, plot hole wise, there's the most plot holes in the sequels.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where I was like, well, I'm just going to accept them because we collectively have decided we can't care about these because they just don't give us, they seem to not give a shit. They keep putting them in. So at some point, we're just going to have to let it go. But they are very pretty.
Yeah, very pretty.
And I like a lot of the characters. Some of the execution isn't ideal, but the characters are great.
Ah, mm-hmm. Man.
Anyways, the whole reason that I brought that up is because you said Obi-Wan. The point that she made, she was like, when he died, spoilers for a movie that's like 50 years old. When he died, she was like, that's it. He's dead. Like, no, first of all, it is compared to how like main characters die now. It's so anticlimactic. And also, she's like, nobody's sad. Everybody's just continuing to do everything. And I was like, that's a good point that I never really thought of.
Well, they didn't really have like an emotional bank account secured. They really just did the one mission together. And it was really just Luke And also, we should use our rational brains in the theming of Star Wars, right? Like, Star Wars, obviously, you have to suspend belief because none of it's real.
What?
But, yeah, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, he chooses to disappear. Let's just use our rational brains here. He's not dead. And also, he literally says, run, Luke, run. And then he talks to him through the fucking X-Wing. Like,
Force Ghost. It's fine. Again, we just accept a lot of it.
All right, yeah, we can't do this. Grey's Anatomy. Snape kills Dumbledore. Let's do this.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't think, is there anything else that you have was about it. Nick, Arizona Nick's and kind Cali?
Of,
yeah.
No, it's kind of a boring story, honestly.
It's just also there. They were like, let's throw Cali and Arizona in here.
I would have actually watched an entire episode of just the boards.
Yeah, I think they could have done it.
All of Dr. Mr. Feeny, honestly.
Yeah. I don't mind the cut. We'll just talk about Derek now, because I actually don't mind the cutaways that they do to Derek trying to learn how to give advice. This is so funny to me. Again, I don't hate Derek in this episode. Again, he's being so supportive of Meredith and her career, and we love to see it. And he's doing it, you know, it doesn't feel performative. He's not just saying it to her. He's saying it to his colleagues. He's like, what? I can work in Boston. There's houses in Boston. I don't care. I don't have to stay here if she doesn't want to stay here. She can have a job wherever she wants, and I can support her. And I'm like, yes, this is a good take. Correct, Derek. Everything you've done poorly, this is correct.
Yeah, and during all of this, he's like, I'm also gonna test my chops at being a good brother.
Okay, so he is getting asked for advice by Mark and Lexi, which has been the case for, like, 3 seasons. I don't know why today is the day that he's like, why do people keep asking me for advice? And he asks Miranda, and she's like, don't give it to them. Just, like, give them a, like, people have already made up their minds. They just don't know that they've made up their minds. If you give them a metaphor, they will just do what they were already going to do. And he's like, well, I'll just give them advice. And she goes, okay, but if they take it and it goes badly, that's on you. Or they're going to put it on you, whether or not it is on you. And he's like, oh yeah, I see what you mean. So he's like, just do, you know, some bullshit, and they'll take it how they're going to take it. Also, what is it? He says, she says something. He responds, and she's like, touchy, touchy. Oh,
when he's like, he's talking to Bailey, and Bailey's like, just give him a metaphor.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
goes, a metaphor. And she starts to actually explain what a metaphor is.
He goes, when did I become the advice columnist? And she goes, touchy, touchy.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought it was when he interrupted her.
He does interrupt her because he's rude. Because she's talking about that she doesn't want to show the new people the gym because it's shitty.
Yeah. We have to get all the dust and cobwebs off of the gym first.
Yeah. And then he's like, a metaphor, and she's like, a figure of speech, which is so funny. She's like, you're such a fucking moron. I have to explain metaphor to you.
That's when I thought she said touchy, touchy. Yeah.
And then he's like, I know what a metaphor is. And she's like, great, then fucking do that. And he's like, no, I'll just be me. And she's like, maybe don't be yourself. So
I love that scene with Bailey, though, because let me just tell you, as someone who's been in management for a long time, you can just answer people's questions with a story, and they can really draw their own conclusions or a question. Yeah.
Which I feel like Miranda does pretty consistently. Like,
yeah.
She'll answer people's queries with a question. And Derek is kind of doing it at the beginning. He's not really giving advice. So this all starts because Julia at breakfast, Mark is making breakfast for Sophia and Julia, and he's like really nervous about Jackson's boards, and she's like, we should have a baby. And I'm like, what is happening? We haven't seen this woman in like 6 episodes. What a bold declaration to make.
Yeah. And she's like, by the way, you take as long as you need, but I am ovulating, so
take as long as you need, but like, I'm aging, and so like the egg count is low, we should probably decide.
Oh, goodness.
Which is just what a wild thing, you know? I mean, again, we've talked about it a lot. You want to have these conversations and be clear with your partner on wanting the same thing and being on the same page prior to making these choices in a relationship. So I'm not against her bringing up the topic, but just sitting at the, him being like, I'm so nervous about my student taking this exam, her being like, the response to be like, I see, we should have a baby. It's hot that you're nervous. We should definitely have a kid. Cause I like the current kid that you have. So like, do you want to have another one? Just wild.
What was the scene where someone is basically like, oh, it's the end scene with him and Lexi. Okay, never mind. We'll get there.
Yeah. So he doesn't respond and she leaves. So then he goes to Derek and he's like, Julia says she wants to have my kid. He's like, and I want Sophia to have siblings. And, you know, I do love her. And, you know, we're in a good spot. So, like, maybe it's not a bad idea. And Derek is like, what is happening? He doesn't give advice. He's just like, do you want to have a baby? And he's like, do you not want me to do it? And Derek's like, do you want me to tell you not to do it? And Mark's like, do you think it's a bad idea? I'm like, I do agree with Derek a little bit. Like, Mark, bro, make up your own. This is a life altering. You should know.
Yeah.
It feels like if you have the hesitation, that feels a little bit like an answer.
The roller coaster that this man has gone through to have just one singular child in his life.
That's so true.
We're off the roller coaster, guys. Let's just decide what you want to decide.
Yeah, because then Derek makes it. He's like, do you want Julia to be in your life together forever? Which is literally just like a fair question and like something you need to consider if you're going to have a child with someone. And Mark's like, are you saying I shouldn't do it? I'm like, okay, actually, that's just a good question that he's like bringing up in case you haven't thought of it.
Yeah. The correlation matters between those two is like not.
Move. It's not like a thing. Well, you're making it a thing and it's not a thing. So then Derek, Mark, and Lexi all have this patient together who has to get like a skull implant because he fell off his roof because he's stupid. And they like had to do brain surgery and then like part of his skull was broken. So then they have to like make a new skull and like fill it in with fat. I don't super understand the medicine behind it. But Derek and Mark and Lexi are all working on it together. And that's the plot. That's the main part that matters. So Derek and Lexi are in the lab like practicing and Lexi's like, oh, Mark's going to let me do this thing with the fat, like get the fat, graft the fat or whatever to put in his brain. And Derek's like, that's nice. And Lexi's like, yeah, it's really cool. And she's like excited. Also, let's keep in mind last episode, she told Derek that she still loves Mark. So he does know, like, she has feelings for this man. And he says, for some reason, I'm going to be your big brother for 30 seconds. And like,
but like truly gossip. 30 seconds. And then I'm going to walk away.
I timed it. It was 13 seconds.
13 really?
Seconds from when he says, I'm going to be your big brother for 30 seconds. And I hit go until he said 30 seconds is up. 13 seconds.
Gosh.
So I just like don't. I'm not against him telling Lexi because I do think he's doing it from a place of like, if you truly want to be with him, you have to tell him how you feel. If you like actually love him and want to be with him and like want to have all these things with him that you were like hesitant about before, then like you have to do it now because like you will miss the opportunity if you don't. She loses her fucking mind.
Yeah.
She's like, did you tell him that was a bad idea? Because that's a stupid fucking idea. And he just leaves.
Yeah. The only thing he says in response is, I don't know, but maybe we should listen to a word from the Grey's Academy sponsors.
That is, he does say that.
He does say that. So we should listen to him. We'll be right back.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we are back. And Lexi was like, oh my gosh, those are the greatest sponsors I've ever heard in my life.
So good.
But also, Mark shouldn't have a baby with this person who I threw a ball at her tit. So.
Good stuff.
Yeah. It's the way. Sometimes Derek is just so incompetent.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing this maliciously. Like, I don't think he's like, oh, I'm going to stir the pot and like start right. shit. I think he's literally like, this is a good choice. I should tell her. Which,
but that's a you need more dedicated time for that conversation.
Yeah, I'm not against you telling her. I'm against you telling her in this setting, and I'm against you telling her and then running away. Like, yeah. If you're gonna tell her, you need to sit there with her while she works through her reaction.
Yep. True.
So, anyways, that leads to Lexi deciding it's time to tell Mark how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is unresolved. She gives him a big old speech. And then Julia walks up and he doesn't respond. The scene ends.
Yeah. I will say I like how this scene played out. Where Julia didn't hear.
Yeah.
They could have just as easily made it where she's like, oh, Lexi, didn't know that's how you felt about this person. I just begged to put a baby inside me this morning. Like, yeah. And then they fight. That would be easy to do. But she doesn't hear it. She just walks up and she's like, oh, hey, Mark, you said in the lobby and we're outside. Yeah. This is crazy. Oh, hi, Lexi. So. Yeah. But that's what?
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
It seems she like says, it's a pretty big one.
It is. She's, I love you. Oh my God, that just came flying out of my face. I love you. I did it again. I love you. I do. I love you. And I've been trying not to say it. I've been trying so hard to just mash it down and ignore it and not say it. And Jackson is a great guy. He is. He's gorgeous. And he's younger than you. And he doesn't have any grandkids or babies with his lesbian BFFs. And he's an Avery. And he liked me, you know, he really liked me. But it was never going to work out because I love you. I am so in love with you. You're in me. It's like you're a disease.
Nice.
It's like I'm infected by Mark Sloan and I can't think about anything or anybody. And I can't sleep. I can't breathe. I can't eat. And I love you. I love you all the time. It's every minute of every day. And I love you. God, I feel so good to say that. I feel so much better. I love you, Mark. And then Julia walks up and is like, hey, Lexi. Thought you said the lobby, buddy. Ready to go make a baby.
So two notes. Number one, you're in me. Nice. Had to. I even wrote that in my notes. Number two, the no babies or grandkids or babies with his lesbian BFFs. So funny. So yep. Funny.
I'm infected by Mark Sloan. The way she delivers that line specifically is really funny to me.
I think what we need. This is a personal request. This needs to be the next reel. We need a reel of this. This feels like a big scene for the Lexi and Mark stands, myself included. This is like this is the Lexi equivalent of a pick me, choose me, love me moment. So
that is so funny that you said that, because that was one of the Discord questions. Someone literally asked, is this Lexi's version of pick me, choose me, love me?
The answer is yes, motherfuckers. Literally. Didn't even know that. Look at that. Yeah, this is exactly what it is. The gray girls are they go after what they want.
Them in.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. great scene, and she delivered that scene so good. The acting so is good. Flawless.
Yeah.
So I'd give her a baby.
She's so cute. Were you surprised that she finally confessed her feelings?
No, but the intensity at which she confessed them, I'm a little bit surprised.
It was like a dam bursting, right? It was like an explosion, which, I mean, she does say like, oh, I keep trying not to say it, but now I just like can't hold it anymore.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And
like,
she does
get
a little spazzy with things. So it kind of makes sense for her character, but yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, it, like I said, great, great scene. Really impressed with the acting here.
They're playing it like the man who falls off his roof is the reason that she does it. And I don't get it.
Yeah.
The wife being like, hey, please don't fall off the roof again, because it really scared me when you almost died. And she's like, she's so right. I should tell Mark how I feel. What? What is happening?
Well, he also... Derek gets like cryptic and gives advice, something about like trimming the fat, or like he says it's a teachable moment, and it's to mirror something with Mark and Lexi. But Mark is like, I get your message loud and clear,
in
buddy.
In the OR. Yeah, yes. He says that, and he's doing it for like, he's saying it for Lexi.
Correct.
But Mark is like, oh, you're telling me how you feel about me having a baby, because he says it's too late for this muscle. It missed its chance to attach.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then very crafty, Dr. Shepherd, message received.
I will now apply this metaphor to my life.
Yeah. Yes, once the healthy muscle will slowly wither to nothing, all alone, surrounded by a thick layer of fat.
Yeah. Glad Mark is like, oh yeah, totally, God. I get this. This means I need to have a baby with Julia.
Or maybe it doesn't. Who fucking knows how he's taking it?
Who knows? The scene also, this guy is kind of funny. So he fell off his roof. They're making him a custom titanium plate. And he goes, oh, like the Terminator. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
When he's like,
done
we
this
also...
in my garage.
Yeah, let's do it in my garage. Save a few grand. That's not how insurance works, sir.
That's also not off. How safety works.
Yeah. I'm sure if you wanted to do an in-home surgery, you're paying triple. Easy.
Also, he says, how long until I'm back on the ladder? I just got a tile saw. What? We have a tile saw, and we have used it, and Michael did not need to be on a ladder for anything he was tiling, because it was either the floor or the wall of a bathroom. I guess maybe if your bathroom ceiling is super high, but you probably don't need to be on the ladder for a tile saw.
I really don't know.
You super
I'm
don't.
Not a I'm not a handy person.
It is not where Carmen's passion lies.
No, no. I was at Home Depot the other day, and I'm talking to these guys, and I'm like, look, this is not my, and they go, but two different people. They go, forte, and I go, I was going to say wheelhouse, but sure, mansplain me, Chris.
Someone probably should.
Chris from Home Depot. They're actually all very, very nice. But I'm just like, I just want a green lawn. I'd like no weeds in my lawn with green
grass. We're
currently
fighting that battle as well. It's rough. It's rough.
Yeah.
We're actually sent away a soil sample to get specific direction from a company on what we're supposed to do to make grass grow in our yard. Because the builders in our neighborhood really fucked everybody over, because they didn't put down topsoil. They just put down turf, or not turf, sod, and the dirt underneath is just rocks.
Oh,
so no one was really set up for success.
Yeah, that's a bummer. We The problem that Jessica and I have is Jessica's not handy and she married someone who's not handy. That's really our only problems. And I don't make enough money. I don't make enough money to just go and pay a landscaper.
Yeah, it's expensive. We've spent a lot of money on like what we need. And then also on top of that, we are like to water regularly, really like jacks up your water bill because you have to water for like 15 minutes twice a day. And that will like for really sod. Destroy. Well, just for any to grow anything in the growing season.
Oh, yeah.
Where we are, at least. And so it just like on top of the money you're spending on like dirt and seed and mulch and any kind of equipment. Luxo, we did some research and we're using a company. So we sent them a dirt sample and they're going to tell us like a plan. So we'll see what happens.
Nice. Yeah, we might do something. I spent like $300 on like a combination of seed and then fertilizer that is seed safe. And then it snowed and then it rained a lot. Yep. So I went back and I told the guys this. They're like, you didn't do anything wrong. You just also didn't do anything right.
Yeah, they're also like, the best time to plant seed is in the fall. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm sure you're right, but I'm not going to do that.
Well, they have spring seed and they have fall seed, but they're basically like, no matter what you do, you can't do things in outside of 6 week increments.
Yeah.
So whatever you did, you can't touch your lawn until 6 weeks from that date. And I'm like, okay, this is
and
just
it's like so much is like, we have to look at the weather and be like, well, if something has to sit on the yard for like 24 hours before it gets wet, then we have to make sure it's not going to rain and all this stuff. And then,
yeah.
I'm also like, because we have like bushes that they planted at the door, which are hydrangeas, and those have to be watered like pretty regularly to bloom correctly. And so it's just like, and but you don't water hydrangeas at the roots. They actually drink through their leaves. So it's like a whole thing. Yards are
too
fun.
Much. Too much. I want to rip it all out and start from scratch.
Well, if we didn't have an HOA, what you can do that's actually really good for your lawn and the world is clover. You can do something called clovering your yard where you just literally your entire yard is clover. It's really good for the soil if you leave it for like 2 full years. And it's also a good like for pollinators. And then you just pull it all out and plant grass and the soil is like really refreshed and new. We can't do that because apparently clovers are weeds. Our HOA has a stick up its butt. Hashtag defund the HOA. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Let's some tariffs on your cloves, clovers.
Let's talk about Derek calling Meredith, because I do like this scene where he's like, the test is a mirror. I think they play it just a little overdramatic, but like as a joke. And I think it's funny.
I actually like the cinematography of that scene where they're on the phone together.
Yeah, because they're like mirroring each other. And she's like, I can't do it. I just have to quit. And he's like, I'll love you no matter what. And she's like, no, you won't. No one loves a quitter. And he's like, the test is a mirror. And she's like, are you saying I won't be able to look at myself in the mirror? I'm like, none of these people know how to take advice. Like, Derek doesn't know how to give advice.
This is a metaphor.
None of these people know how to take advice. Like, they just, like, people keep coming to Derek. They're not coming for him for advice. They're just coming and being like, what choice should I make in my life? Not like, hey, what would you do in this situation? And
also,
I'm like, okay,
let's
maybe
be fair.
You guys, like, get it together.
Let's be fair to Derek. Is he the best person in the world? No. He's learning. He's in the middle of an arc.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just not go to this guy for advice based on his track record. Okay?
Yeah.
Remember prom night?
So, yeah. The test is a mirror. And he's like, whatever you do, we'll always love you, obviously. Like, it doesn't really matter to him. But he does obviously want her to pass the boards. And I think he thinks that she can. So, that's what she's inspired to vomit in front of her examiners. And just
because of
the
mirror.
Yes, the test is a mirror, which means I will no longer hide my vomit. I will vomit in front of you. So, yeah, I just thought that scene was funny to me, because I think it is like, I like how they played it. I just think they play it a little melodramatic, but not with sincerity, like a little bit as a joke.
Yeah, it had some levity to the situation for sure. Yeah.
So, are there any other plot? Did we miss anything?
Is there anything else
happening? Owen and Teddy have like a couple moments of like, do you know what Christina's gonna do? No, not yet. Well, can you keep me updated? He's like, yeah, that's fine. So it seems like, okay, we're coming back into at least cordial territory.
Cordial is the exact word that I wrote in there.
I wrote cordial too.
Yeah. Hunt does ask Bailey to like woo attendings.
My new people.
And they all are terrible. What are they're bread smelling people that in the cafeteria.
They're like,
they're asking about parking.
Do I get
an
assigned parking spot? Do I have to share an office? Blah blah blah.
Yeah. So probably none of them are gonna, you know, pan out. I do want to point out the cranioplasty guy. Sorry, hiccups has a good happy ending. And at the end when she's like, I just wish you'd pick up a new hobby. And he goes, oh, how about bowling? And she's like, I hate bowling. So you can't win them all, buddy.
Yeah.
Weber and Catherine, they have a moment.
Oh, right.
Basically where they plan their next fuck session.
Well, first in the like early episode, he's like, you don't like, are you okay? She's like, oh, I have like no regrets. Like last night was great. I'm just stressed about the test for Jackson. Yeah. And then later on, yeah, they're like planning when they'll see each other next. And she's like, call me when you get home. I'll see you at this conference. Like stay at the same hotel as me. What day do you get in? Let's go together. Blah, blah, all this stuff. So they're like, you know, it seems like it's not a one-off. She's looking for that dick again.
That dick from Dick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think those were all the notes that I had in general. I just like also the way that the opening scene was is they gave Alex additional time. It wasn't like very cut and dry. They gave him the 15 minutes. And they like the fact that they let him take the boards after, you know, missing the whole first session, I think was pretty cool. Don't know if that would happen in real life. I'm kind of curious. It is, man, I don't know. I'm excited. What other questions? What questions do we have for from the Patreon?
Which resident breakdown during the boards was your favorite?
Which resident? Oh, it Christina's.
Yeah.
It's just because it's on the heels of just Dr. Mr. Feeney just landing the coldest shit on Christina.
Yeah, I like that one because he gives it back. Like, it's not just her freaking out. It's like a back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah.
So it's the most, like, intriguing to watch.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair to put surgeons under this mental pressure exam? Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think it should be treated like I'm fucking with you, but I do think if you're going to spend your life cutting people open in high stakes situation, you should be able to like prove your competence in any scenario.
And I'm actually okay with the trick questions too. So yeah. I think maybe they should have explained it of like, listen to every question carefully because there will be questions designed to trip you up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when the test that the teacher is telling you, look at all of your multiple choice answers first because you're gonna get tricky ones.
That was a great impression of a teacher.
That's how all my teachers sounded. I don't know about you.
I had good teachers, so they didn't sound that way.
Oh, that's the difference, I guess.
Kat says, who is Mark going to choose, Julia or Lexi?
Lexi.
Okay, and what's your time frame on that?
Next episode.
Okay.
Or the finale. It's within the next two episodes.
Also, Brianna pointed out that in this time frame of filming, Arizona's actress, she is very pregnant, Jessica Capshaw. So
man,
they're doing a good job hiding it.
They
she
really
asked if you noticed. I think no is the answer.
The answer is no. I did not capture that.
You have made that joke. So
I know, but I'm bringing it back. Bringing it back. It's good every time. Listen, she capshot our hearts. Will live in infamy.
It will.
Oof, man, I'm gassy. I just tooted.
Okay. Congrats. Good thing your colon's still where it needs to be.
For now.
Janisha says, do you have updated predictions from board results about who will stay and who will leave?
First off, Janisha, you're amazing and I love you. Second off, I really don't. I'm pretty torn. Like I said in the beginning of the episode, I can't tell if I'm letting myself get misdirected right now or if I just need to go with what I saw. But I also don't know who's wanting to stay and who's wanting to go, if it's a temporary thing, if it's a long-term thing. I'm inclined to believe that Meredith stays because of the show, but this could be a good opportunity for them to write Jackson out. And I don't think they would do that with Christina, but if April fails, does she stay? I don't know. This is tough. This is a tough one. I really don't know.
Okay. Thoughts on Derek's advice / metaphors. Hilarious storyline is my answer.
Hilarious storyline. Hilarious.
And the fact that
everyone's coming to him for advice, and he's like, who should I go for advice on giving advice? And yeah, he goes to Bailey. So funny. Yeah.
Which Miranda's the correct choice.
Yes, so. That's the correct choice.
Predictions on April and Jackson.
They're gonna have more sex.
Anything else?
Nope.
If you also think both of them are poised to leave the show.
I do. I do think they're both going to leave the show.
To have sex.
Yeah. to get into professional porn together, the two of them.
Or their characters still work in the hospital. They're just never there again because they're always having sex.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Zoe says, for what is supposed to be one of the best teaching hospitals in the country, were either of you surprised at how much wooing was required for potential new hires?
Or by how many
amenities it sounds like other hospitals offer?
That was more surprising to me.
I also didn't really think about it until she posted this question. I was like, oh yeah. And then I guess I kind of thought back to like season 5, which is when they were like, we're number 12. We're not number 2 anymore. Blah, or whatever the fuck. But like, 12 is still pretty high. I have to imagine there's a shit ton of teaching hospitals in the country. 12 is pretty high.
Also, they haven't really brought up the ranking since Gary Clark started killing people.
Yeah.
So,
but it's like, they still have people, like, we still have Mark, we still have Derek, we still have people who are, like, renowned in their fields.
Yeah.
So, if they're taking on fellows, you would think, okay, I guess these are not fellows. They're here to maybe for attending slots. I don't know. It's confusing to me.
Well, you also have Richard Weber here, who's apparently like a big deal in the universe of Grays.
Yeah. Canonically.
You know, so. Yeah, I don't know.
She also said that it's not at the same level of when Bailey says she cut his LVAD wire, but she does say that Bailey saying touchy touchy is one of her favorite phrases to repeat.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah, that particular storyline piece I think needed to be more fleshed out, but also like Owen's in charge, so who knows what the hell he's thinking trying to run this hospital like an idiot.
Yeah. Catherine and Richard predictions.
Oh, they're going to get married and they're going to, Richard's going to adopt Jackson.
Okay.
This is his life now. It is, my wife has Darth Vader'd herself and I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to smush and... Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's going to go on like a sexcapade past this, but I think he'll be mute. He'll be exclusive smushing with Catherine. I hope she is too. I don't want her to break his heart. I also don't even know what's going on with Jackson's dad. Like, is he dead? Is he alive? What's he doing?
Who's to say?
The future.
And then Aaron says, thoughts on Teddy and Owen's interaction in this episode, which we said cordial.
Cordial, yeah.
Do you think Bailey or Teddy has taken Bailey's word to heart and is trying to move on and rekindle their friendship? I don't know that she's trying to rekindle the friendship, but I do think she's trying to move forward in like a less aggressive, oppositional way.
Yeah, I don't see it as rekindling as much as she is not being an active barrier.
Right.
So she's not, she's extended an olive branch. I think that was the exact word that you had mentioned. She's extended the olive branch, but that is all it is. It feels
like she is pulling back on the blame piece.
Correct. Which is fair.
Yeah.
Owen made a bad situation or made a bad choice in a garbage situation.
Yeah.
Cut the guy a little bit of slack. There's other things we can dig on him for.
Oh, so many other things.
Like the cheating.
So many other things.
Like the abortion blaming. There's just things.
Yeah. And then she said thoughts on Nick and his storyline, which we addressed. But for why? So
yeah, but for why? Why the death?
So that was it. So let's rate it and then see if we have any other predictions to make.
I'm going to say a 3.8.
Okay, I'm going to say a 4 because I like the way they show the boards. Even though I don't like this episode, it's not one I would choose to watch because I find it stressful and upsetting. I think it is done well and I like the way they do like the flash arounds for telling about, you know, the boards, and they set it up in a very Grey's way of being like, oh, it could be anybody. Anybody could fail. Who could it be? Who is it?
Yeah, there was definitely the edge of your seat. Who's going to pass? Who's going to fail? But it, for as intense as that storyline was, it still just didn't really feel dramatic. Is that weird to say?
I think if they had stayed there and like done less over at the hospital, like if they had just pulled, so we're just seeing boards. Except for maybe like the very beginning or very end. I think it would have maybe just flowed a little bit better. But I that's kind of my only note, is just like what happened at the hospital was so disconnected from what was going on with the boards. It was just kind of like, pick one. Because one was like so dramatic, and not like overly dramatic, but just so dramatic to the point of like, this is like their future. And then the other one's like, whoop, okay, got some people dying.
No one died.
Yeah, but Nick's gonna die.
Yeah, that's
allegedly
true. It's a perceived dying. We perceive it to be happening.
Right.
Yeah, I think the flow and the pacing is kind of why it felt not dramatic, is because every time something intense would happen, they would lull you back to sleep with the non-board stuff at the hospital. Right. So, yeah. But 3.8, I feel good with that ranking. It's an okay episode. I would have liked more for the boards, but I can tell we're on the cusp of some big stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said that Mark will choose Lexi in the next episode. You said that Jackson and April will have more sex. You said that Catherine and Richard will have more sex and get married.
And adopt Jackson.
And adopt Jackson, sorry. And then what about, okay, do you think Christina and Owen are still headed for divorce?
Yes.
Okay. She'll leave Seattle if they get divorced? Or do you think Owen will leave Seattle? Or do they both,
I think Owen's,
or do they both leave?
Owen's gonna leave Seattle.
Okay.
Owen is going to leave Seattle, and there's no turning back.
No turning back. And then Derek and Meredith, do we think they're staying in Seattle?
Yes, and they will remain sleepless as long as I know them to be.
And then Alex, do you have a prediction for Alex?
Honestly, the easy choice is that he stays with Arizona, I don't know. I've got a feeling that Alex's time on this show is like maybe coming to an end, but I don't know. I've also not seen this guy do anything else in the world. I've never seen this guy anywhere else. Maybe he's the one.
Did you ever see the movie The Wedding Planner with Jennifer Lopez?
The Wedding Planner.
And Jennifer Matthew McConaughey, Lopez. Where she's planning his wedding, but then they cheat and fall in love, I guess.
No.
Well, he's in that.
Is he the married the person she's going to marry?
He's like the person that her dad wants to like hook her up with, but he's I want to say he plays like a Greek idiot. I'll find a clip on YouTube and send it to you. It's very funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think I would like to see him stay with. No, you know what? He's going to stay. He's going to stay with Arizona. The only people leaving are going to be Jackson and April. And Hunt. Owen, Jackson, April.
Those are the people that will leave this season.
Transitioning in with next season.
Okay. So Owen, Jackson, and April is what you said, right?
Yes. And okay. And it will be because of the board decisions and the divorce decisions.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's it then on predictions, unless do you have any other like rogue ones that you can think of?
I have tons of rogue ones.
Okay. Do you want to share them or?
No, it was a Star Wars reference. Jokes. Yeah, that's okay. It.
Okay. So thank you guys so much for listening. Again, make sure you go to our website. You can find the links to all of our socials and you can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. And we love hearing from you. And please keep sharing the show because we keep getting more and more people telling us that they found us. And we love to have new listeners. We hope you're enjoying us as a companion to watching Grays. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we'll see you all in the next one.